How's it going, everybody? This is me again, Chewy, the host of the podcast titled Expert in the Myths Behind the Legends, and I want to welcome you guys all back to our podcast, and I am once again joined by my girlfriend, Monica.
Hi, guys!
I kind of made a little mistake, but I did a save there real quick. I don't know if you noticed, but yes, so Monica, real quick, how have you been the past few days?
I've been good. Starting a new chapter of my life. I did my last week at the job that I had, and now I'm about to move on to a different one. So that's going to be really interesting. I'm finally going to go back. I mean, I'm going to have to go back to full time, but I can do it. It's chill.
Good for you, my friend. Awesome. As far as myself, I have been doing the same thing I've always done, just getting drunk on my days off. Not every day off. But anyways, I was invited to perform in a couple of weeks somewhere.
Ooh, nice.
Because I'm a singer slash guitar player, kind of. Well, I'm more of a guitar player than a singer, really. So but some friends of mine are hosting a show at a local food truck plaza type of thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a place called The Eatery in Westaco, and I've never been there. But I've seen pictures, and they have, like, a little stage, and they have, like, several food trucks kind of, like, in a little ring configuration.
Yeah.
And they have tables in the middle so people can sit there and eat. So it looks pretty legit. It's outdoors. It's going to be in the day. So I feel like, you know what? That's safe enough. I mean, I've already been vaccinated. Yep. So it's in a couple of weeks, and I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be the first time that I perform anywhere in over a year, my friend. So,
dang. That's going to be awesome. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. I'll take pictures and video. And if it's good, I'll share it. So I want to remind our listeners over social media, before we forget, we have our Facebook under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. We have our Instagram under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is Myths Behind LGDS, and you can also email us at mythsbehindlegends@gmail.com.
Nice. And we also have our letterbox, which is for the uninitiated, a movie blog type of place where you can follow people, they can post reviews, you can post reviews as well of movies you like, movies you don't like. You can make lists of your favorite movies or the movies that you hate. Share those with the community, and we actually have a watch list which features some of the movies that we're thinking about doing in future episodes. We can choose from there if you want to recommend us a movie from that list, or if you want us to add one of your preferences that is not on there, we can do that for you as well. Nice. And we also have drumroll effect for there from the production. Our website or URL. Monica, are you ready for this?
My favorite part.
I mean, that whole job thing is compared to this. So.
This is a highlight of my week.
Awesome. So our website is under myths-behind-legends.mailchimpsites.com.
Yes.
Awesome, and it's still kind of in development. I need to go in there and update a couple things. Actually, I haven't updated in about a month. But in essence, we have our information there. We have our episode links under. We have a picture gallery of pictures that I took from the internet and edited with my limited Photoshop skills. So they look a little bit more creepy. We have our merchandise there also for sale. If you guys want to order something, go ahead and email us. Or you can just send us an email. You don't have to go. Please do visit the website, mind you, because it's pretty cool. But yes, we have merchandise, we have cups, we have stickers, we have guitar picks, and maybe a couple other things in the future, depending on stuff.
Yep.
So, Monica, the time has come for you to announce to our audience what the topic of our episode is tonight.
The topic of our episode for tonight is Rosemary's Baby.
Chan, chan, chan. We have a surprise for our audience, by the way. We have a special guest later on. So we are doing things a little bit different today. We normally have the critique segment first and then the academic segment. But we are doing the academic segment first today because, like I said, we have a special guest. And we are really happy that Bridget has once again decided to join us for an episode.
Yeah.
It's something that I've been wanting to do for a while. And luckily, you know, both of our schedules aligned and we could get this on the road, and it's gonna be real cool, guys. I recommend you stick around, listen to her opinions on this amazing movie, by the way. And real quick, Monica, just a one sentence summary of this movie, because last time you summarized the entire movie
With one breath.
in the
Yeah.
intro. But if you had to summarize this movie in a couple of sentences or, a little small paragraph, what would it be for you?
What was that line that she says when she sees the baby? What's wrong with its
Yeah.
Well, that, also basically it's a young mom, I mean a young wife who then becomes a mom, but the bundle of joy that she gets, is very it's very like not what she wanted or what she expected, but mom's got a mom, so they, yeah, I mean, if I keep it short and sweet, that's it, She gets gaslit a lot in the movie. She also, they try to make her think that she's going crazy, but she knows what's going on. But yeah, it's a psychological horror movie. Really good. I really enjoyed it.
Great, my friend. And I think you just gave me an idea for the title of this episode. Mom's Got a Mom. I just.
Mom's got a mom.
That's gonna be the title for this episode, so
Sounds
just
good.
to let you know. Thank you, my friend, for your
I like that. You're
contribution.
welcome.
So, we'll be right back with the academic segment after these messages. All right, everyone, so welcome to the academic segment in which Monica and myself try to connect some of the stuff in the movies or show or whatever the case is that we're talking about in a given episode to something from quote unquote real life. And one of the things in this movie is that it involves witchcraft. It involves
Yes.
the use of magic herbs and potions and stuff like that. And I figured, well, let me do some research on that because that's interesting. And it kind of connects to some of our own experiences as Hispanics, Monica,
Yeah.
with, the folklore of our culture of brujería and, all this stuff that amarres, stuff like that. This is a little different. This is about like a potion or a tea or something that you make for somebody. So it has the desired effect, whatever that effect you want it to be is, right?
Yeah.
So I took it upon myself because they mentioned tanish root in the movie.
Yes.
And I looked it up, and unfortunately, tanish root is not real.
I've heard it before, though.
Have you? Where at?
Yeah, like on Witch TikTok.
Really?
I think, honestly, I could be wrong, but or something similar to that. I thought that was real, Tannis Root.
There is a witch TikTok?
Yes, dude. Have you never been on it? Like, you just gotta. I don't know what you have to do to get on it, but I ended up on it, and now I get my cards read like every day. It's like communal reading, Like, some of the shit, I kind of was just like, okay, like, that doesn't apply to me. So I stopped, watching those. I just kept scrolling. But they always find their way back to me. So, yeah, there's Witch TikTok. It's
Maybe
very
because
interesting.
they know you're a podcast hostess, my friend.
Maybe. Maybe.
I'm not on TikTok. I'm a little bit behind the times. So I feel like I'm a little old to be on there, to be honest, but I mean.
I mean, I'm old and I have it. I don't post anything. I just watch videos on it. Like, and it's addicting, dude. It's because it's like mini YouTube videos, basically. It's pretty cool.
Huh. I gotta think about that. But yeah, so I was kind of like. Well, not confused, but I guess, or not disheartened either, but kind of like thrown back at the fact that this specific plant that they mentioned in the movie is not real.
What?
But its effects kind of mimic some of the popular herbs or plants that I know have been used in some witchcraft potions over the years, from what I've read. Now, I've never used any of these on anybody. Full disclaimer, I don't know. Or have I? I know. I mean,
Alleged.
I'm thinking they might have been used to me at some point. But anyways, that's a different story. I've told that story a few times already in past episodes and whatever. But I figured, well, I found a couple things. I found a guide with actual descriptions of plants that people have used over the years in witchcraft stuff. And then I found a list of, on Amazon of herb kits that they sell for Wiccans.
Cool. Damn, Amazon. Way to go.
I didn't go too far into that one, but real quick on that stuff is basically you can buy like an herbal kit for Wiccan purposes, quote unquote. So if you consider yourself a Wiccan, you might want to look into this. And once again, oh, before we talk about any of this, we're not responsible for what happens if you use any of these herbs in your life. If you grow a third arm or if a, an eye pops up in your hand or something, I mean, that's the consequences of your actions.
Do it at your own risk. We do not condone any witchcraft. We fully support everybody's beliefs, but y'all do what you want to do on your own time. Not
included. Yes, I drink Bardi extract, aka beer, on my recreational. Hey, Bardi's a plant, so it's salad.
Yeah, that's true.
Beer is salad, my friend.
Okay.
Especially if I throw some lime and some like clamato in there, because you know it's tomato.
Yeah,
lime and chili. I mean,
it's got all the food groups.
It's got garlic. It's got shrimp in there, so it's a shrimp salad, dude.
Damn, that's. Okay. Yeah. I can agree with that. Actually, I'm drinking pina colada right now. It's fucking delicious. I got fruit in this one. I got mango, so.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's even better.
Very, very healthy. Very healthy.
You got fruit. You got all the vegetable stuff. Yeah, that's awesome. But going back to the whole, I like my philosophy on life. Thank you.
I agree with you.
So, yeah, real quick on those Amazon herb kits, basically, you can buy, I guess it's a case or a box or something, and they send you, like, little baggies of herbs that you can use for Wiccan rituals, it's, I mean, whatever it is that they use them for cleansings or teas, stuff like that. I was thinking of buying one, actually, because I found one for, like, $20, $25, something like that, so I was thinking, maybe I can, I'm adding it to the wish list, because I have a ghost hunting kit also in there. But that was like $100. So I'm waiting on that for my income tax, you know, so I can kind of.
Yeah.
I might pull the trigger on that one. But anyways, the other stuff that I found was a guide, like I mentioned earlier, on some plants that people have thought had magical properties. And this is from a website called Europeana.eu. So I'm assuming it's a European website. And they have a list of like, I think, 6 or 7 things. I picked the top 3 that are the most famous ones, I thought. And the first one that I came across that I want to mention is nightshade or belladonna, which has the scientific name.
Yeah,
which has a scientific name because we are in the academic segments. We need to be full nerd or nothing.
All right.
So the scientific Latin name for this is, and I hope I'm saying this correctly, Atropa belladonna.
Okay.
That's like the scientific name for this thing, and basically. Belladonna is like mandrake and henbane, which I'll be talking about later, is linked to witchcraft, and it's also considered to be an important component of something called Walpurgis Night, and I hope I'm saying that right too. I've never heard of this before, so I had to open another tab to my trusty Wikipedia bookmark, and I found that Walpurgis Night is some sort of a celebration or a ritual that people do, especially in Germany and that kind of that area of Europe, to celebrate the canonization of a saint called Saint Walpurga. And I hope I'm saying all this right. I'm probably not, but basically, it was a person or a saint that was hailed by Christians in Germany for battling pests, rabies, and the whooping cough, which is an illness that we don't see anymore. And this saint also stood against witchcraft. So during this night, people thought that nightshade was used by witches to prepare their covens. So I guess it's kind of like Halloween, where kind of Halloween was supposed to be like a positive or negative thing, depending on how you take it.
Right? Yeah.
So if you're an okay, like if you're a Christian person, quote unquote, then it's a celebration of the saint. If you're a witch or an evil witch, then the nightshade is one of the plants they use to kind of conjure spirits or something like that. during this night.
Are they poisonous? They're poisonous, right?
Nightshade belongs to the Solanacea family and the genus Atropa. So, it's found in places more commonly in Europe, Asia, and North Africa. And it was used to prepare ointments that would be applied on the skin and cause hallucinations, lightheadedness, mm-hmm. a sensation of flying.
Whoa.
And the active ingredients in the plant are, and I'm going to butcher all these, but I mean, hyoscyamine, atropine, atropamine, belaplomine, and scopolamine. So these components are more found on the leaves. They're concentrated on the leaves. You can find that on the stem too.
Yeah.
And yes, Monica, to answer your question from a little earlier, these are toxic substances.
I knew it.
So they cause euphoria and hallucinations, and in high concentrations, disorientation, memory loss, coma, or death.
Whoa.
So be careful when you OD on belladonna, guys.
Yeah, well, don't OD on belladonna. Now, or maybe don't take belladonna at all, but you know, like... Just...
Now, some people actually claim that this has positive applications. They have been used to treat epilepsy, colics.
Okay.
Some people believe that it helps Parkinson's disease patients. It's used as a bronchial dilator to treat asthma and other heart conditions. And believe it or not, some people claim that it's actually an antidote for certain kinds of poisons.
I mean, why not?
It was claimed to be used during the Gulf War, I guess, in the early 90s, against for people that were inflicted with the effects of poisonous gas. So they used, a belladonna tea, and that kind of allegedly helped them feel better.
Nice.
I wonder if it's a case where, like, you treat a poison with a poison, kind of like fighting fire with fire.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. I mean, it makes sense. Because if one is stronger but has... It ends up taking, like, the good qualities of it and you end up getting healed.
I wouldn't recommend poisoning yourself more when you've been poisoned and hoping that would cure you.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like vaccines, right? Like, they have the virus in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it helps you build immunity. Maybe that's how those things work, you know? Like, it's got poison in it, but, like, it also has other shit and it helps you fight the other poison.
Maybe. I never thought about that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Thank you.
Cancels out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're welcome. I got little tidbits of wisdom here and there, you know? They come out.
That is why I like having you around, Monica. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, moving on to the next one. This one is called Black Henbane, and its scientific name, I'm hoping that I say this correctly, because it's a really weird word that I don't want to mispronounce, because I'll get in trouble. But the Latin name for this is Hyoscyamus niger. And basically, like the belladonna also belongs to the Solanacea family.
Mm-hmm.
There are 17 subspecies, give or take. But this one is the most common in Europe. And it's been used for medicinal and ritual purposes. Some philosophers in ancient Greek actually described this as a painkiller and a sleep remedy. So if you couldn't sleep, you know,
mm-hmm.
this will help you sleep. It's known as the witch's plant. It was more widely used during the Middle Ages in the preparation of concoctions, love potions, and quote-unquote flying ointments. I guess it got you high.
Nice.
You know? And this worked by once again making it into an ointment, mixed with fat or oil, and apply it all over your body.
Hmm.
So like a pomada, cool. Like a pomada, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this next bit of information is a little interesting. its effects apparently become more intensified when you apply them to the general area.
Because of the heat, maybe?
You think so?
I think so. That's where you generate the most heat.
The blood flow, maybe?
That too. Mm-hmm.
And it also...
Oh, you're like, yeah, that's where the heat comes from. Duh.
Yes, that's well... I was going to make a comment, but I don't know if it's appropriate. Whenever I see a pretty lady, I'm just kidding.
Oh my god.
I start sweating. I never completed that sentence, and you went in the wrong direction there, my friend. Oh, man. I start sweating. I get nervous. I hyperventilate.
Whoa.
But also this, and this is a little funny, I think. People claim that if you administer this rectally, it also increases its effects. And this is reputedly the reason why witches are depicted as flying on broomsticks.
Why?
Because I guess people saw people applying weird substances to sticks and putting them in their butt or something.
Huh. Interesting.
This kind of became the stereotypical image of a witch flying on a broomstick.
Hmm.
I mean,
wow. I mean, I've heard that if you put stuff up your butt, like medicine, right, it takes effect faster. I don't know if it's because it's going directly into your guts, you know, because like that's what's attached. Right? I'm not wrong, right? It's your intestines, you know, like...
I mean, I don't know, because that's the whole point of a suppository, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're like little bullets, man. Like, that shit's... Ugh, I hated those. They were the worst.
I had those administered to myself when I was a little kid, because I would have a lot of fevers, and back in the wild days of the early 1990s... In Mexico, you know, this is like the savage land right here.
Yeah.
I would get a fever and I was like, oh, let me put a suppository. Oop, oop. You know, oop. And up it goes. Up. And it hurt, dude. Yeah. It hurts.
Yeah, I know. I struggle. I mean, I had to do that too because my parents are from Mexico. So like whenever we would get fevers, it was the same thing. Like we would do the little wet rag on your face and then the suppository. And that thing never wanted to go in, dude. My mom hated it. And like, and I hated it because it's ew, dude. Like, I don't even know. Those were made out of like cream or something. They were like in little capsules. I don't remember how they were made, but yeah, a strange object going up in there like without consent. No, thank you.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you couldn't do anything because you were a little kid, so you couldn't fight it. You couldn't overcome these like things.
Yeah.
So yeah, this but is it not.
But it makes sense because like you know, I guess I'm not good. I'm not. I don't remember anatomy. I took it when I was like in high school, maybe in early college. So I don't know how, what's attached, but I know that your intestines have something to do with that. And I'm guessing it's easier access or faster access than to take it through your stomach or your mouth and having it to have be processed, broken down, uh-huh. You know, shoot it up there. And
So let us repeat our disclaimer, guys, that we are not responsible for anyone shoving anything up their butt. And getting high or whatever it is that you guys are thinking of doing. I mean... There are instances in which that's different, I guess.
Yeah, I've heard of people talking about taking shots through, you know, their bum hole because it supposedly gets them drunk faster. But don't take it from me. Don't do that. Don't do that. I end up in the hospital with alcohol poisoning, and that's not fun. Don't do
it. I just thought it was a very interesting amount of or tidbit here of information, and I was like, wow, yeah. Okay. I mean...
It is interesting, for sure.
It's funny how this developed from shoving herbs up your butt to shoving a suppository to now...
Yeah.
Shots beer. And...
Shots, yeah.
Human evolution at its finest. Some of the effects of black henbane include loss of muscle control, pupil dilation, palpitations, hallucinations, delirium, seizures, cardiac arrest, coma, and death again. And it ties up with the movie, because people fell into mysterious comas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was the lady that owned the apartment in which Rosemary and her husband ended up moving into.
Uh-huh.
She was put in a mysterious coma and she never woke up. And then also her friend.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Hutch. Mm-hmm.
And some of the quote-unquote approved medical uses of this plant include intestinal problems. I guess that's the whole butt thing again.
Yeah.
Problems with your respiratory system, Parkinson's tremors again.
Mm-hmm.
It also relieves nausea, vomiting. It helps with pain in terminally ill patients. The last one that we're going to talk about for right now is mandrake, which is scientifically known as Mandragora officinarum.
Interesting.
So, the mandrake, or mandragora, as it's more commonly known, is an herb with thick or forked roots that kind of resemble like a human little person. Have you ever seen a plant like this?
No, but I've there's this show that I watch called The Magicians, and they like the mandrake in that show, like what it is, it's like they grow a person, like a kind of like a little clone. And that's what they call it. They call it a mandrake. And it's like that, like it's like I think it starts out as like a root or something, or I might have also seen it in like in the Teenage Witch series, Sabrina,
Sabrina.
the Netflix one. Yeah. So I mean that's how I've heard it. I don't remember seeing something that talked about it before besides those two shows.
Yeah, if you see a picture of this plant, it looks like a little like chubby person.
Let me look it up.
So as you do that, let me go ahead and continue with this. So basically, this plant is more commonly found in the Mediterranean basin and Central Asia. And it's one of the most famous magic plants in Europe. It's reportedly to have medicinal and psychoactive properties, so like the other ones too. Basically, it's also used as an amulet for good luck, an aphrodisiac, and to treat infertility. But it was also used as an anesthetic in surgical procedures.
Oh.
So they would eat a piece of this and it would kind of make them like drowsy, and you could, you know, cut off your food or something if you were.
Don't they show this in Harry Potter?
You're asking the wrong person, my friend, because I have not seen any Harry Potter movies.
What? I think they do. I think they do. I remember seeing a root that was crying like a baby, and I think it was Mandrake root.
Huh.
Like that's how they depicted it. It was funny.
It's likely because, again, this is a very famous plant that's been used in alchemical stuff. And then the Arabs developed something they called the Spongia somnifera, which is basically a sponge that was soaked in mandrake essence and other plants, like the ones we mentioned before, belladonna and stuff like that. And this made patients sleepy, which also helped them with surgical procedures. So I guess if you had to take a tooth out or something like that, there's it's kind of like that whole stereotypical chloroform rag where they kind of put it in your nose and you're
Oh,
done.
yeah.
But it was mandrake instead of chloroform. And
Interesting.
it's also used to treat conditions like asthma, arthritis, and ulcers.
Cool.
There's a legend about the mandrake or mandragora. And it's kind of a sad legend, my friend.
Oh,
This is gonna hurt you
okay.
because I know what kind of person you are.
Oh,
So
okay.
basically, this plant was rumored that when you pulled it out of the earth, it would let out a scream and it would kill anybody that heard it. So it was dangerous to harvest this plant. So the method that they developed to collect these roots involved hungry dogs, which
No.
they would tie to the plant to, you know, close to the plant, and they would throw food at the dog, and the dog would go and like somehow pull the root out, and then, you know, they because if it was the dog that was collecting it, then it wouldn't affect you as a human. But this would allegedly cause the dog to die.
That's horrible.
I
The poor
know.
doggos.
I know, dude. It's crazy what, you know, the Middle Ages, you know. I had never heard about this, by the way.
Me
This
neither.
is a very new piece of information for me. I heard about them killing cats because of the Black Plague. They thought they were causing it. But
Wow.
that actually made it worse because cats ate rats and you know, gotten
Vermin, yeah.
vermin. And they were the ones that had the fleas that transmitted the Black Plague. So that made it worse, you know. But I had never heard of them using dogs to collect, quote unquote, magical herbs. And then this would cause the dog to die, according to legend. Some of the effects of this plant include hallucinations, delusions, seizures, and even death. But you can also use this to treat intestinal problems and, again, Parkinson's tremors.
Sweet.
So, what do you think of all this information, my friend?
I mean, it's very interesting and definitely useful if I wanted to become a witch or if I just wanted to kill someone, which I won't, you know. But it's interesting, like, how plants can just, you know, cause all that stuff.
Right,
The more you know.
and rainbow with a star.
There we go.
It's all natural too, and it's around
I
us.
know,
So,
it's organic. Organic ways to, you know, cure things as well as murder things.
I mean, it's still poisonous if you take a lot
Yeah,
of
of course. That's toxic.
I don't know if I would ever take, like, if I'm feeling sick or whatever, and someone's like, here, have this nightshade tea, my friend. I'm like, whoa.
No, thank you, because you never know, that person could have, like, you know, not the best perception of, you know, quantities. Yeah. And I don't want their mistake to be my mistake as well, and then I end up in the ground, and nah.
So any final comments, my friend, before we move on to our next segment?
Nope. I'm good.
All right, cool. So that was our academic segment, in which we all learned about properties of plants that are allegedly used in witchcraft or traditional herbal medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And we are moving into our critique segment, and we have a very special guest for that one. So stick around for that. It's going to be real fun. Everybody, so we are now at our critique segment for our episode, and we are very happy to introduce a special guest to the audience. She was already a guest once, a blue moon ago, maybe, or two.
A hot second.
Yeah, it feels like, but we're glad to have you back. By the way, Bridget, please go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience again.
Sure thing. I'm Bridget Bardot, for all you know, your girl behind the counter, and I cover horror, art house, and shit you've never heard of. On my Instagram profile, which is official girl behind the counter. I'm also on Letterboxd at Bardot, the number 4, the letter U, and all you know. I say that because I've kept saying for all you know, and then I'm like, that's not my handle.
Oh, wow. You're sending people the wrong way there for a minute. So once again, we're very happy to have you. And by the way, this episode is because of your recommendation. We hadn't even considered this movie for our podcast. We have a list of, what, Monica, 20, 30 movies? And yeah. To my recollection, we hadn't even thought about this one, but we're really glad you brought it up. I will let you talk about the movie right now. But yeah, I mean, we'll let you share your opinions and everything like that. And as we always do when we introduce a guest, of course, their opinions are their own, and they may or may not reflect what Monica and I feel like. But, well, I mean, it's all in the spirit of discussion, and I think we're all going to have a good time here.
Yeah, all in the spirit of the discourse.
Definitely. So, we're going to go ahead and let you start. Go ahead and let us know your impressions. What do you feel about this movie? Maybe like a little quick summary, or how do you feel about it?
So, I love Rosemary's Baby. It is one of my favorite horror movies. I hate the guy who made it. I would just like to say that. He is not fantastic, but I still think that this movie has a lot of value, not only for Mia Farrow's performance, but because it was shot by William A. Fracker, who is the goddaddy of American cinematography and also a Mexican-American, so we stan. I love this film. I love the way it's shot. I love the fact that the camera knows when to be active, it knows when not to be. And the fact that this movie is a lot more like psychological than it is like, boo, jump scare horror. And I just think that the Castevets are also really iconic villains. So I love me some old people in horror. So those are some of my views.
Yeah. All right, Monica, so what are your impressions?
I mean, I really liked it too. I hadn't seen it in a really long time. I think the first time I watched it, I was like a teenager. And yeah, I like the whole psychological aspect to it. I hate how she was treated. She gets gaslighted like constantly, and it's so like, but that's like a big thing of how people were, I mean, people still are like that, but that was like very like prominent in a lot of movies too, like especially when they reference like psychological stuff with women. And yeah, dude, for the old people really freaked me out. Like, I was like, at the end of the scene, like, where they're at the end of the movie, actually, when they're all like praising Satan and stuff, I'm just like, they look like regular people, and they're over here, like, talking about, like, oh, yeah, Satan's our daddy, like, yeah, like, hail Satan or whatever, and I'm like, oh, my God, and these, like, you know, rich, you know, people, they're just, they're chilling, like, having their little satanic cult meeting, and it's creepy. Like, I think old people in movies like that, like, it gives me, like, a, I don't know why, but it scares me more than little kids, to be honest.
I feel you. There are some scary old people out there.
Yeah.
I think so, too. And, well, me, for one, I want to echo the sentiment that Bridget has. I don't like the person that, I'm not even going to say his name, because I don't want to, like, give him any more attention, because, you know, his story is well known, and, no, it's just not okay. But I also agree with you, Bridget, in saying that this movie has a lot of merit, artistic merit. Her performance, Mia Farrow's, is great. You see her evolving or devolving, however you want to look at this, from a happy-go-lucky, typical American girl of the 60s into this hot mess of whatever they made of her, because they made her into this.
Yeah.
Through the whole process. And speaking about the movie itself, I mean, I kind of had mixed feelings. Monica already knows, and maybe you also, Bridget, know that I'm not a big fan of this type of movie. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm not saying it's overrated. I'm just, like, looking for something different, I guess. And this isn't something that I would gravitate to. Like, if somebody told me, let's watch a movie, I wouldn't suggest this one, for instance, right? If they brought it up, I'd be like, okay, I can watch that one. It's cool. It's kind of the same thing that happened with Midsommar and Hereditary. Monica already knows this.
Yeah.
But about the movie itself, yeah, I like the camera angles, the way it shot. The soundtrack was pretty beast also.
Mm-hmm. That soundtrack. Oh my goodness, so good.
Yeah, the little creepy lullaby / theme they had in the beginning and at the end, it's pretty legit, I think. It's not that I'm expecting a whole lot of violence or anything like that, because I'm not a violent guy either as far as my movies go. I'm not a fan of movies, for example, like Saw or Hostel either. In which the whole focus of the movie is the violence and the gore. But I do want to bring up the point, Bridget, and I want to ask you a question of the psychological horror, because that's what I think this falls under. And I think that guy that made Hereditary and Midsommar, it's Ari Aster, right? I can see where he got his inspiration. And basically, what I thought of it is, and you guys can agree or disagree, I mean, it's this movie represents the fear of the mundane, of the everyday life, but also of the mundane changing too much. It's like somebody that's kind of stuck in a routine of like, okay, I'm getting married, I have a life, I'm buying a house or a place to live, I'm gonna have kids, I need to get a job, a career. And this girl's life gets completely turned around because of people that they meet by circumstance, right? So what do you guys think about that?
I'm gonna let Monica take this first.
I mean, I can understand it. Like, honestly, we're told our whole lives that we're supposed to have like this certain life, and it's like broken down in goals. Like, we have to have work towards getting married, having a family, raising those kids. And once you get to that point, it's kind of like, okay, well, what else is there? Like, is this it? My life? Like, what's gonna happen now? Like, and then it's exciting, you know, in the beginning when you're like, you know, thinking about it and dreaming about it. But then once you get to it, it's just kind of like, okay. I mean, in this case, in her, like, she got a whole other thing that she was not signing up for.
She's married to Satan now.
Yeah. But I mean, I can understand what you said about it being mundane. Like, I totally get that for sure.
Yeah, I totally think so as well. I think it is really a horror of the mundane. And it's such a horror that, as Monica said, revolves around particularly family, and I think particularly women.
Yeah.
Because people getting involved in women's life, I feel, is like kind of commonplace, to the point where like they tell you how to dress, how to eat, how to look, what behaviors to have. But especially when it comes to pregnant women, people do feel the need to get like very involved in pregnant women's lives, whether it be, oh, let me touch the bump in public. And it's like, that's somebody else's body. Maybe you don't touch them. Or like giving advice or saying, oh, you shouldn't do this. Oh, you're not going to like breastfeed. You should be going and like doing that instead of formula. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of like getting involved with women, but also specifically getting involved with pregnant women because they're mothers. They have somebody else now. Mm-hmm. So then it's a new way for people to just get very involved in women's lives. And I think that's really partially what Rosemary's Baby kind of shows a little bit. Just the fact that people do get involved in women's lives a lot of the time without their permission.
Yeah, they're basically micromanaging her whole pregnancy and her life.
Yeah.
And who are they? You know, like, they're nobody.
Who are they?
Like, sharing their little two cents. But yeah, I totally get that too.
I kind of feel like, I mean, I'm obviously not a woman here, but just observing people in my family that are women, my aunts, my cousins, my mom too, they kind of go through things that I, as a guy, won't ever go through. And this, for example, just that same point you brought up about them being told how to do things, how to dress, how to do this, how to do that. And everyone tells them, oh, if you're having morning sickness, drink this or eat that or don't do this or don't do that. And it's like, dude, like, okay, like, maybe it's coming from a place of good intentions or something like that. But at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, there's a line. And I kind of see that in the movie. I don't know if I'm getting this wrong or not. I'm just speaking as a outside observer here, but I kind of feel like maybe this movie, it's a study of the condition of pregnancy itself, because that in itself, even without a satanic cult chasing you, must be a terrifying experience for anybody. I mean, as far as the hormonal changes, the body changes, the habits you gotta adapt to, like new clothing sizes, people getting into your life, being on OC, I mean, I think this kind of reflects that, but to like the nth degree, where it's just like, you know, shot into the atmosphere as far as, okay, yeah, I'm pregnant and I have all these things to go through and learn how to live with, and I also have a satanic cult next door to me that wants to take my baby away, whatever, you know. So
it's like, my baby daddy happens to be Satan.
Uh-huh.
He's very involved with the pregnancy.
A little complicated. Yeah.
Into all the appointments.
I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about that. I mean, if either you either has kids or want to ever have kids, I mean, I don't know if that's how that would scare you or, like, I mean.
It is really terrifying, though. I think you're absolutely right in terms of, like, it is about the fear of pregnancy, because, like, for a while, for people, like, now we have, like, modern medicine, you can see, like, who the baby is and, like, what it's going to look like and, like, what any genetic conditions they're going to have. We largely have that panned out, but we don't have it entirely panned out. So it's really, like, you're, for a while there, like, especially, I'm sure, in the 60s and beforehand, like, that baby could look and seem like anything. So I'm sure for a lot of women, it's like, oh God, like, what if the devil gets me pregnant? Like, what if I get pregnant from a monster, whether that be Satan or just a really bad guy?
Yeah.
You may be stuck with a man who is Satan-like.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I guess shifting gears a little bit, I want to talk about the husband a little bit, because he's really the person that makes all this happen to her.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy.
I mean, yeah, the a model citizen here. But I want to say that this guy is a douchebag.
What?
A douchebag, to say the least, because he just goes right along with it. He just doesn't give it any second thought at all. When that first time they have that first dinner meeting with the next door neighbors, and he all of a sudden is like, I don't want to talk to them, and I don't want to, like, socialize with them because they're going to be in our lives forever. And then it's like, oh, but wait, they're awesome and they have good stories to share with us and blah, blah, blah. And I'm guessing he meant well, quote unquote, in the sense that he probably thought, well, they're going to make me famous and that in turn is going to help me give my wife a better life, and it's going to help us get a bigger house and live this lavish life that I would not be able to give her otherwise. But then at the end, when she barges into that little meeting seance or whatever it is they were having at the end of the movie, he kind of like sneaks out, like, let me go out here this way. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Maybe he could say, oh, I had good intentions, but it was really selfish. Like, it was really, it was, all that whole thing was only to benefit him. It wasn't really going to benefit his wife. It was going to benefit him because he was the one who was going to get the, like, nice career and all the money or whatever. And, like, he was in with that because that's what he wanted. And instead of, you know, working hard and doing it himself on his own, he put his wife on there and was like, here, she'll take care of it, you know, like she's not gonna know any better. Like that was super messed up. That's like a huge violation of her trust for him. And of course he was gonna be a little weasel at the end because he knows he totally
because he knows he's messed up.
Yeah.
I guess what I was just kind of piggybacking off of Monica's point, yeah, he really did mess up and he really didn't think about her in any of this. I mean, his feeling was like, yeah, well, you'll only have like lost the thing you created in your stomach for 9 months. It's cool.
Yeah.
Not that I'm a big person who loves like children and like is very interested in that myself, but like it is actually kind of a bit of an inconsiderate thing for him. Like he's just kind of like, well, it's only your feelings.
Yeah.
It's only your body. It's okay.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, because at one point I think he actually says, oh, we'll have more kids whenever you feel better. We can start having more kids as soon as you're better. And I was like, dude, really?
Like, after all that, I would not want to have a child with that man. Hell no.
Basically kind of making her seem like some sort of, what's the word that I'm looking for here?
Baby machine, dude. Yeah, a factory.
Yeah, baby factory. And I guess I was going to say like a breeding animal or something like that. Kind of like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this guy is just horrible. I don't know. I just wanted to get your impression of him from you guys.
He sucks.
We're obviously not a fan of him, so yes. Because he also kind of is really patronizing with her as far as just in general. He's trying to get her friends to not talk to her. He takes away that book that her friend gave her before he died. And he throws it away like it's nothing. Like, oh, I wasn't thinking about that. No, you don't need that in your life. So I see that as like another control thing in this movie. And that's basically, to me, the big theme of control.
Yeah.
People losing control of their own self, of who they are, at the hands of others.
Yeah.
Basically. So now I want to bring up the the married couple. I thought they were annoying, but not the characters themselves. Or the performance, just them as neighbors. Imagine having neighbors like that.
Oh my god, they would be the worst.
I would hate it.
Where it's like, you guys want to have tea with us? And it's like, dude, like I just had lunch with you. They're like...
Yeah, like, in your face. You're suffocating me.
Yeah, so, but speaking about them as Satanists or devil worshippers, they are pretty legit because they do succeed in getting everyone out of their way. When they're moving into the apartment for the first time, it's a very short take, but I noticed it right away because she, Rosemary, finds a note that the lady that died was writing, and it's something about, I cannot associate myself with you anymore. So she's kind of writing like a letter to the, it's Castevets, right, their name?
Yeah, I think they're the Castevets.
Yeah, so some sort of letter that where she was going to like cut everything off, whatever. And she had even put a dresser on the door so that she couldn't hear them or something like that. So to like block that whole energy coming from them. And I don't know what, I mean, just, you guys already said that they're scary, but do you have anything else to add about that?
I think that the Castevets, oddly enough, like straddle this weird line between like terrifying and annoying.
Yeah.
Like, they are very irritating to be around. I would not want to be their neighbors. They seem very high maintenance. But they're also terrifying because they, like, get in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mrs. Castevet finds Rosemary outside the apartment. Like, she's trailing them. She is a very active Satanist.
I agree with you, Bridget. Like, they're just very, like, nosy and, like, they like to meddle. And, like, and I mean, we know why now, right? But, like, in the beginning, it's just kind of like, these people are, like, I mean, maybe that's why they were able to, I guess, be so close to Satan because they get done, you know? They're very
go-getters.
Yeah. But, no, it would be horrible to have people like that because it's, like, you don't have your space, your privacy. Like, these people are always just there, you know? Like, it's... I mean, that in itself is scary. Just having somebody always, always, like, trying to get into your home. And in your business.
In your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not a... I mean, I'm kind of a social person, but I am careful about who I let into my social circle, I guess. For that same reason, because I'm a very private person. I respect my privacy. I would like others to respect my privacy as well. But once I get to know somebody and I'm friends with somebody, then I'll be a lot more open. It's just that initial stage where, like, I'm not sure who you are or where you're coming from, and I'm not sure if I can trust you with my personal stuff just yet. And these people will definitely never cross that line. I would never trust them with anything. as far as anything that I was thinking of doing or saying, I would not even tell him anything. But how about the movie itself? And another thing that I could say maybe that I could interpret as, or trying to interpret this movie as, is that for the longest amount, I mean, it's not until like the last 5-10 minutes where you realize that, yes, it was in fact Satan's kid. Because they're having their little Satan welcome party thing. But for the most part, you could argue up until that very last scene that this could have been just all in her mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
Totally. Like, actually, a funny thing is my editor had not seen Rosemary's Baby. And like, right about up until the end, he's like, no, she might be crazy. She's definitely crazy. And then it's like, oh, no, she's not. Actually, it is a Satan baby shower. I don't know where they got the accessories for it, but I love the Satan baby shower. That little upside down cross mobile.
Oh, cute. Yeah. Yeah, with like the black little curtains on it.
Little black curtains.
Yeah. It was very fancy. I really liked, I like the draping of the, you know, the curtains on the bassinet or whatever. But yeah, I mean, because she did have those, like, I mean, you could say that they were vivid dreams, right? But it was actually real. But like, obviously, like, she had all that stuff in her head already. So with that scene, like, when she's actually getting, like, you know, raped or whatever, that could have, if they wanted to, they could have turned it into, it was like a whole, it was all, like you said, all in her head, and she just saw that, and then she could have ended up in a mental institution or something, you know, like, because she lost her shit. But it could have gone either way. But I mean, obviously it's pretty cool that, not cool for her as a character, but like, cool that she turned out to be the mother of like the Antichrist or whatever. Yeah.
Not the best gig.
No.
I don't think that's a job that anybody would want out of their own. I mean, well, maybe some people, but I would want to say the vast majority of people wouldn't want to have anything to do with that.
Like, we're going to find out which of your subs are like, yeah, I'm really down to be like, having Satan's child. Right. We'll find out which of mine is what.
Yeah, I'm sure some of you guys are out there, and more power to you for that.
No judgment at all. Everybody, y'all do what you want to do.
We support you.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, since, I mean, this is something that just came to my mind right now, but do you think the movie would have been less well-regarded if it had, in fact, just been all in her mind?
Maybe being in the time, because, like, it was in the 60s, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when that movie came out. So, I think during that time, there was a lot of, like satanic stuff going on, like, or, like, stuff in the news, and, like, I think after that, was Satanic Panic, like, in the 80s or the 70s? Because there was a lot of cults in the 70s, and I remember that. And it was like, there was a lot of satanic cults in the 70s as well. So I feel like the reason why it was like, you know, so such a like you said, like a highly regarded movie was because it was like right on like that little, you know,
time period,
that moment where like, yeah, where all that stuff was happening. So obviously it's going to be like very interesting for people because they see all this stuff in the news, and then to see a movie that's, you know, has that idea in it, like, it would have been, yeah. I mean, maybe the psychological is more like the Hereditary stuff. Like, that would have been perfect for like this time period. But I mean, I think the whole thing about like it being like a satanic thing was perfect. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense. I feel like it just rambled.
No, it did.
No, it makes sense.
Okay.
You went in a spiral where you eventually got to your point. Yeah. How about you, Bridget?
I think that honestly it does really successful because it came out at the right time.
Yeah.
I just did an Instagram post about a movie called It Comes at Night, which I saw in retrospect, but I'm doing a little bit of a loop as well, like Monica, which I saw rather recently. And it was one of these movies that just came out at the right time, but like, it's very passé in retrospect. Like, you see it in retrospect and you're like, oh, every movie does this. Like, this is just a staple of that psychological horror genre, particularly in the 2010s. But I think for Rosemary's Baby, that's a little bit of what it is. Like, it just came out in the right time. Like, people love the ending. They think it's really iconic. Everyone quotes it.
Yeah.
And it just, I think it's a great case of like, right movie, right time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because as we said, it was really well done and well shot and everything. And I think the topic resonated. If I'm correct, this was maybe a little before the U.S. got involved in Vietnam or somewhere around that time. So that kind of horror, like where people started kind of watching all that stuff in the news about the war and everything, that wasn't a thing yet. So in this time period, it was more about the unknown, that whole fear of becoming an adult, like we were talking a little while ago, and achieving your goals of marrying somebody and finding a home and building a family, stuff like that. I think that's something. I'm terrified of that, by the way. I'm not married. I don't have kids. I'm in my late 30s. And I'm still not sure whether I really want that or not for myself. I did for a while. I was kind of working towards that, but then I realized, I mean, I'm not ready for that, and I'm not going to be successful. So long story short, what I'm trying to say is that that's, to me, terrifying. The whole aspect of finding somebody that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with them, and I'm going to pick a place to live, and I'm going to have kids with this person, and I'm going to find the job that's going to support all of us. And it's like, dude, like, am I ready for that? Like, do I want that right now? So
yeah.
To me, that whole aspect is scary. That aspect of this movie resonated, because I'm still terrified of that whole idea. I'm not really sure that anybody ever feels ready for that deep down inside. I mean, my brothers, they got married at different ages. One of them got married when he was like super young, like 21. The other one got married when he was a little older. He was about 30. But I asked both of them, and they're like, dude, like, I just did it because, you know, but I never felt ready. Like, both of them say I was not ready for that. Like, I didn't feel ready, but you learn. Like, you kind of build on what you're... build from there, and you roll the punches, and if you guys are good enough for each other, you'll stick through it, and if not, then you'll separate, but that's a whole different thing. But bottom line is, the whole aspect of family building and becoming an adult and getting old, and that's terrifying to me.
Dude, honestly, like, I'm in that stage right now. I'm not married yet, but, like, we already have a house. We don't have kids, but we have 4 dogs. So, like, just, I've never, this is the first time that, like, I'm like, oh shit, we have a home, you know, like, I'm supposed to be, like, you know, making this our place, right? It's like that's why I said earlier, I was like, where do you go from there? You know, like, we're already here, we kind of got the house, we already, you know, we have a little family, like, with dogs, kind of, you know, like, and I don't really want kids, but that would scare me, like, if I had to raise a child. But it's kind of like, like, right now, it feels a little stagnant. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing, honestly. I'm just kind of here, like, kind of coasting, like, just, like, figuring it out as I go. Like, you know, I'm actually going back to working full time. So, like, I tried the part-time thing. I couldn't do it. And I'm 31. And I don't even have, like, a set career or anything. But it's scary to be at this age when, back when I was younger, I thought, like, oh, at this age, I'm going to have, like, a family. I'm going to have, like, all these things. I'm going to have a career. I'm going to, like, I don't know, like, I'll be an adult, you know, like, what people tell you you're supposed to be. And it's like, I'm here, and it's like, okay, well, what now? Like, what's next, you know? Like, it is kind of scary, and it does get a little, like, I guess frustrating at some point, you know, because you're kind of just like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do after this. Like,
yeah.
So it's, and I don't feel like an adult. I feel like I'm still 25, dude. Like, in my head, I'm still 25. Like, I don't feel like I'm 31. I don't feel like what I thought was an adult at 10, you know, it's crazy. Life is crazy.
And it is really terrifying, because with Rosemary's Baby, at least you could go, it is an example of how it could go wrong. You could choose the wrong partner. You could have a baby with Satan. You could have neighbors in an apartment, which you think is wonderful, that are actually Satanist cult people.
Yeah.
It is an example of how, like, being an adult can go horribly wrong, and you're expected and you're encouraged to, like, go and make these decisions at a very arbitrary date, but I mean, are they really the right things to do
for them? Yeah. And it's crazy, because, like, back then, I mean, the whole concept of marriage was like, once you pick this person, you're stuck with them for life. Like, that's it. You know, you can't go back. You know, like, I guess divorce wasn't as common as it is now. So, like, yeah, you pick the wrong person, and then what the hell do you do after that? It's like, oh, like, now they have a Satan baby together. You know, like, what's going to happen now? Like,
what are we going to share custody?
Are they going to raise it together? You know, is she going to stay there for the kid? Like, what's going to happen? It is scary, dude. Like, yeah, it's a trip for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's to me, that's the what resonated from this movie to me personally. And yeah, it's just something that I don't know. It's I guess something that I need to go through to experience myself, and then maybe I'll decide to make the plunge or take the plunge or whatever. But any last impressions from either of you on this movie?
I guess the last impression for me is just the fact that I, until we had this conversation, haven't really thought of it as like so much of a like movie about how the mundane and especially marriage can get really scary. So that is something I really learned today. So I learned a new perspective from you guys.
Thank you. So our score for the movie, I'm gonna give this kind of a low score because of what the reasons I already gave, that I'm not a big fan of this type of horror. But I mean, I like the movie, but it's not really my cup of tea, and Monica hates this about my reviews and everything. But our units today, by the way, are how many satanic grannies out of 10 did you guys give?
Yes!
Monica, how about you? How many satanic grannies?
I thought you were going to go with satanic babies, but oh. You know, that I mean, I really liked it, so I'm going to go with an 8.
What? I'm going to go with a 10. I'm going to go with 10 Satan grannies out of 10. It's hard to get a 10 out of me.
Nice. You're going to make me feel horrible about this, but I'm giving this a 6. Not because I think it's a bad movie. I mean, it's not a bad movie. I recommend this movie to people that are going to... they're thinking of watching a horror movie. It's just not the kind of movie that I would pick, like, you know. So, and I hope that I'm not coming across as like a snobby person, whatever, but it's just like, I mean, if I had seen a little bit more action, maybe the movie was a little shorter too, I probably would have given this another point or two. But I'm giving this a 6 only because of the fact that it doesn't really tick all the boxes for me, but it is a good movie. I recommend it. All right, so that was awesome, Bridget. Thank you very much for joining us again. If you can go ahead and share your social media links again, please, for our audience.
Sure thing. Thank you for having me, first off. And I am Bridget Bardot, for all you know, your girl behind the counter. And I am on Letterboxd at official girl behind the counter. And sorry, I'm on Instagram at official girl behind the counter. And Letterboxd, I am Bardot, the number 4, the word all, the letter U, and no.
All right, awesome. Yes, please, everyone that's listening in, please go ahead and look out for Bridget's content. She has a YouTube channel that's really fun and awesome. I like what you're doing, by the way. Like, you've come across like a long way since the first couple of videos that I saw, and now you have like a little background TV thing going on, and you have the music and the transition screen. So it's awesome, dude. I really like your work, so keep it up.
Oh,
please.
Thank you.
And anytime you want to join us or you want to talk to us, you're more than welcome, please. You are part of the EMBO squad, honorary member.
Yay!
So, yes, any other impressions, Monica?
No. But, you know, Satan babies are scary. So I hope I never get neighbors like, you know, them. Because I'm not down to be in a satanic cult, honestly. That's not my thing.
Neither am I. Well, once again, Bridget, thank you very much for being with us, for having us in your Zoom meeting today. And, of course, once again, the invitation is always open, so please let us know if you ever want to talk to us once again. And thank you for the suggestion, by the way. I hadn't seen this movie in forever, and it was really, really good to revisit it. And I appreciate your suggestion.
Absolutely, and I would love to have you on my show as well, so let me know if you're down, because I'm down.
Yes!
Awesome, definitely. We'll get that wheel turning sometime soon.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Well, have a great night, Bridget. It was awesome.
It was great talking to you, too.
Bye.
All right, so that was our critique segment with Bridget. Once again, thank her very much for participating with us today. And yeah, she was the one that recommended the topic for today, which is Rosemary's Baby.
Yep. Thank you, Bridget.
She's awesome, dude. I hope...
Yeah, she is.
I recommend people check her channel out because it's real fun.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very insightful, and I always feel like we have good conversations with her.
Yes, for sure.
And we'll definitely take her up on that invite for an episode on her channel.
That's going to be so much fun. I can't wait.
Yeah, dude, definitely. So we are now at our Know Thine Enemy segment, in which we talk about the main antagonist, or antagonists in this case, in the movie. So in this case, I decided it would be the Satanic Cult.
As a whole?
As okay. a whole, yeah. I mean, because we can, I guess, focus on the neighbors,
mm-hmm.
the cast of it, but I mean... They have little acolytes that are also, like, taking part. I mean, most of them take part until the very end, though.
Yeah.
Or close to the very end. But, I mean, I consider them all a group, so I guess, you know, why not? So, okay. According to our system of classification that was developed by reputed scientists in NASA and MIT and all these alphabet soup schools... These people or villains would fall under the spectral demonic or supernatural category because they are acolytes of Satan.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they themselves don't seem to have any powers other than just being servants of Satan, right?
Yeah, I'm very persuasive. Charismatic for sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have a backstory. The old neighbor, the man.
Uh-huh.
Is allegedly the son of a very famous Satanist slash warlock.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I guess he educated the son, which is, at the movie, the older man.
Mm-hmm.
Roman, right? His name is Roman?
I think it's Roman, yeah.
So, I'm guessing he learned all these tricks and everything from his father. So, what is the goal of the Satanic Cult, my friend?
Well, apparently... Satan picked Rosemary. Picked Rosemary. Not the plant, the person. Their job was to make sure that they got her, or that Satan was able to get her pregnant so that she could have his baby. And then basically hide it from her because they tell her that it was a stillborn, right? And then it's next door all along. Their goal is to bring to this world the son of Satan.
Yes, and allegedly this baby will overthrow everything that is good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of creepy when they were, like, hailing Satan in their little party.
I know. They said it all casual, too, like, hail Satan! Oh, you and your insane your gods. No, there's your god is not here. Like, hail Satan. Hail Adrian. It's like... Okay, like, y'all are just yelling this shit in the building, like, anyone can hear you, the walls are paper thin, like, they obviously don't give a crap, like, they don't care because, you know, they're over here chanting their little hymns and stuff in the middle of the night while these people are trying to sleep, and they're just kind of like, huh, that's weird, but they're not like, dude, these people are legit chanting weird Latin, like, stuff in Latin, obviously, that could easily be associated to, like, cult things. Like, I don't understand why they didn't just leave. And the guy was there because he had his own goals, you know? He had his goals in at the top of his list.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I guess they didn't leave. Because if he would have been like, let's go, these people are creepy, they would have gone. But they didn't.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, I'm thinking most people would have moved out, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, if I heard... my neighbors chanting weird things in Latin in the middle of the night and people around them started dying, I would leave. I'd go back home. Like, I'm not gonna stick around for them to use me as a freaking, like, sacrifice or something. Or my dogs. Like, no thank you.
Definitely, dude. And, well, these people are always barging in, dude. Like, they have no limits, no boundaries.
They're super nosy. It's annoying.
They're always around. They don't care about what's going on in their lives. They kind of just open the door. I guess maybe at some point the husband even gives them a key.
Wow.
Because it appears like, I don't think it happened, but I'm assuming that it happened because they just pop out of nowhere. Like.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, their freaking like apartment is connected to theirs.
Yeah, well, that's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if they're in there, they probably sneaked in through there, too.
How sneaky?
Right?
Yes, how sneaky.
Processing.
I had like the little wheel of you know, that rainbow. Thinking.
The apple. Yeah.
So, their abilities, I mean, they don't really have any superpowers or anything like that, but they can make herbal concoctions to control people.
Mm-hmm.
They make Rosemary drink some sort of weird tea or whatever beverage, whatever it is that keeps her in pain for months.
That's messed up.
And they can also use witchcraft to eliminate their enemies and benefit their friends.
Yep. Which is how her husband got, like, his success, right?
Yes. So we see them putting people in comas. They made the husband's rival blind.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he could get the famous play part, whatever, become an actor. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
As far as their weaknesses, I mean, they're all old people, dude. Honestly, you can, like, push them and they'll fall and, like, break their hips.
Just push them down the stairs. They didn't have life alert back then, so they'd be screwed.
None of that. Help me. I've fallen. I can't get up. I shouldn't be laughing because I picture myself as being the kind of person that would need that service at some point. Like,
oh my god.
And yeah, they just like spill soap in the shower and they'll fall and it's just nature take its natural course, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I give this movie a kind of a low score because realistically, yes, they're creepy people. They're really insistent and everything like that. But at the same time, it's, they're just people. Like you can...
If they got like a one-on-one relationship with the devil, maybe... If they had to, they would be able to summon powers.
Maybe. I don't know.
You never know.
Yeah, we don't see that in the movie, but that's, I guess, nothing's off limits when you're, like, chums with the devil. Or BFFs with Satan.
Yep.
So, what's your opinion on them as a whole?
I mean, I think they're very believable. I mean, I feel like they could be real. So that scares me. They're older, so they have, like, a lot of wisdom, you know, which makes them more threatening because they know a lot of things. They're full of knowledge. If I met people like that, I would be scared. Especially if they lived next to me, like, mm-mm. I'd be scared that they'd be, like, cursing me the whole time, you know, like, I mean... Dude, the people like that are dangerous. Like, they may look like little, you know, whatever, old people. Like you said, we could just push down the stairs or something and then kill them. But, like, what if they already did damage before and, you know, they died? They were the only people who could reverse that. And you're screwed. You're cursed for life. Like, that's intense.
Hmm.
That's very powerful, in my opinion.
Yeah. See, that's an angle that I hadn't even considered, my friend.
There you go.
So, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You are a lifesaver, my friend. So, I think they are effective in the way that they infiltrate their lives so easily.
Yes.
Like, very easily. Like, it doesn't even take more than one meeting for them to brainwash the husband.
But it also doesn't help that, first of all, Rosemary's not very, she's kind of a pushover.
Yeah.
You know, and then the husband, he's so selfish that he just wants to be able to do what he wants. So he's like, he's ambitious and like selfish. So of course he's not going to go anywhere. These people have something to give him that they know he can't refuse. And he's an actor, like he's trying to make it. So yeah, they're smart. They're smart for sure.
Yeah, they are, I think. And touching up on Rosemary again a little bit, I think, or I don't know if I'm right in this conclusion that I got to, but do you think it's because of the time period they were in that she was so sheepish, like so easily convinced to go along with everything? Because mm-hmm. she would try to protest and then the husband's like, no. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, because back then it was like the man is a man and the woman is supposed to be submissive, you know, listens to their husband. So, yeah, I mean, it's funny because their relationship changed a lot. Like, in the beginning, they were very playful with each other and, like, you know, they seemed happy. And then as time went on, he started treating her more and more like an object, you know, like, instead of his wife. I mean, that probably f***ed with her too, like, made her feel, like, insignificant. And she was alone a lot, so...
Yeah.
That didn't help. Yeah, I mean, I think they beat the confidence out of her, whatever little bit of confidence she had, you know, gradually.
Yeah, little by little.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. I think it's like, reflective of its time period, and... You could, of course, say that this could still happen today, technically, because
yes,
there are still people that could be manipulated like this, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I get the feeling that it would probably be the girl now that would be the one that...
Yeah, that have the hold of the man.
That
yeah.
controls the guy, because times are different now, and believe it or not, a lot of women are the one in charge of the relationship, and that's, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's become more common in recent times.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's scary. Yeah. Nah, not really. I mean, you know, I like powerful women.
Yeah, but not when they're involved with the devil, you know?
Oh, yeah, of course not. I mean, okay, not that powerful, my friend, okay? I'm talking about them choosing dinner every time. Okay, I can live with that.
I mean, I wish somebody could pick dinner for me, too. It's fucking hard.
You hear like a game show theme in your mind, like Jeopardy. Ultimately, these people do succeed in their goal. I mean, they submit the husband easily and Rosemary. And one thing that I didn't get to touch upon with Bridget because of our call time limit there,
mm-hmm.
they never actually show the baby on camera.
Nope.
So... What do you think it looked like? I mean, she said that it had weird eyes, and then the other people said it had weird hands and feet also.
Uh-huh. So probably, like, because, like, the idea of the devil is that they got hooves for feet
mm-hmm.
and maybe claws for their hands, you know? Like, so maybe that's what it looked like. And then, of course, I remember seeing the eyes when she was getting, like, raped. So that's probably the kind of eyes that the kid had. So just a weird demonic being, basically, in baby form.
Hmm. So, do you have any other comments on the satanic cult in Rosemary's Baby?
I mean, they're creepy, dude. I would not want them as neighbors, for sure.
Definitely not. So, how many skulls do you give them on the scare meter?
I'm gonna give them a 7.
All right, cool. We actually agree on this. We
Ooh.
Both. Give these people a 7 on the square meter because
nice.
Yeah, they're very manipulative and they're very persistent,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time they're just people. I mean, like, they don't exhibit sure. any supernatural powers, so as far as I can tell from what I watched in this movie, they don't have any,
mm-hmm.
so technically you could still dispose of them in regular ways, like shooting them or something like that. I mean,
yeah, so, pushing them out, like you said. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, 7 on the scare meter, 7 skulls from both of us. So, all right, that was our Know Thine Enemy segment, and we'll be right back with my least favorite part of the episode, the closing remarks. Alright, everybody, Monica and myself, the audience, the sad face for tonight, because we are once again at the ending of our podcast episode.
Boo!
I know, this is the time that I wish never came, but here it is, unfortunately. I want to thank everybody that's been listening in, that's tuned into our episodes. If it's the first time you're listening, thank you very much for spending time with us. I do hope that you come back for more, or go back through our past library of episodes. We have over 40 by now. So you can take your pick. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, we will give you our social media links so you can send those our direction. But yes, thank you very much for your support. We are very happy and humbled that it's growing, dude, on Twitter.
Nice.
Twitter has been like in mode. Yeah, dude. I believe we are close to, or maybe even past by this point, 350 followers.
That's so awesome.
So that's one thing. But before we get into that, I want to thank Bridget once again for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Please make sure you check out her social media, her Instagram and her YouTube channel. She has like little video reviews of movies that you might have never heard of. Mm-hmm. Really obscure movies. Some of them you have, or you might have heard of. You, Monica, or anybody out there. Most of the ones that I've seen her do, I'm not familiar with. So that's cool. I mean, she's kind of giving the limelight to some weird, obscure movies that are not popular.
Yeah.
Which isn't to say they're all terrible. Some of them are kind of bad. But, I mean, if anything, the cool thing is that she goes over them and she gives her opinions. And she's really cool. I like her.
Yeah, me too.
As a content creator, she's awesome. So, yes, Bridget, thank you very much. And we hope to see you or hear from you again very soon, hopefully on your channel this time.
Mm-hmm.
So your audience can see your beautiful faces. And I want to give some shout-outs, Monica. Well, do you have any shout-outs today?
No.
Did you ever remember the name of the person you were going to give a shout-out to the other day, by the way?
No.
Wow, dude.
I don't have the best memory, okay?
Okay, Dory.
Basically, yeah. Oh, wait, you know what? Let me, again, I think I've already given him a shout-out before, but shout-out, you know, again, to Rolly, because he's the one who I think has been sharing the podcast, and, like, he's the one who told some of our friends that I had it, so that's how they found out. So thank you, Rolly, for your help. It's very appreciated.
Awesome. Thank you, Rolly. You are a Gold Star member of the EMBL squad. We have unofficial tiers. That's still in development. But yes, Bridget, once again, thank you. And we also have some people on Twitter that have been kind to us. We have two amazing people that have a podcast titled Listen, It's the Girls Room Podcast.
Nice.
So it's two ladies. Their names are Raquel and Basuda. And they talk about basically everyday stuff that people talk about. You know, on the they were kind enough that they gave us a review on Apple Podcasts, because, by the way, our podcast is finally released on Apple Podcasts.
Sweet! Cool.
So we are taking over the internet, my friend. Platform by platform, we're getting out there.
Nice.
Little by little. And they reached out to us and they asked if we could do a review for them. And I was like, yeah, sure. So they did one for us. And I think it takes a while for them to process, but hopefully it will show up in the next couple of days or whatever. But yes, thank you to Raquel and Basuda. I was also, I listened to one of their episodes and they were talking about unpopular opinions.
Okay.
So they would say something that people think it's you know, an unpopular opinion, and they would agree or disagree. And I agree with some of them and I disagree with some of them. And the ones that stick in my mind right now are, I think they didn't like chocolate mint ice cream, which... That is my jam.
I love it.
Yes,
I love chocolate ice cream. Each.
One of them wasn't a big fan of margaritas. The other one was. And I like margaritas. I mean, when I make them.
Dude, I love margaritas too.
And I think they mentioned about something about Nutella. Again, one of them liked Nutella. The other one didn't like it. I love Nutella.
I love Nutella. I have a jar in my pantry right now that I've been meaning to eat. Not the whole thing, obviously, but, you know, spread it on. I'm not a savage.
With your hand.
My fingers.
Stick your face in the whole jar. But yes, thank you, Raquel and Basuda, once again for being awesome. We also submitted a review, like I said, and hopefully it shows up on your Apple podcast soon. We also have the following people to thank. We have I Finally Watched Podcast and Vanessa from Life Paranormal with Bee Podcast, because they have been recommending our show on Twitter.
Nice.
Yes, that's Vanessa awesome. Actually put us on a list. I haven't been able to read that yet, but I think she has like people that she recommends a lot under. And that's awesome. I think that's awesome.
That's so cool.
I listened to a couple of her episodes and she's really good, really interesting to listen to. She describes her own personal experiences with the paranormal stuff. And it's cool, dude. I like it.
Nice.
Definitely like it. And we also have been given the honor, my friend.
Okay.
Of becoming a member of a very select group on Twitter.
Okay.
This group is called the Illumi Potty.
Awesome.
Which is, of course, a play on words on Illuminati, but I mean, Illumi Potty. I thought that's amazing, dude. Dude, it's people from all over the world, dude. There's, I believe the one that was responsible for creating this group is, and if I'm wrong, correct me, guys, but the one that added this, I believe, is the Insanely Dangerous Retropod Show, which I've given a shout out to in the past, I think.
Uh-huh.
But basically, they added us, and there's people from Europe, England, Scotland, all over the US, New York.
That's so awesome. You
know, all over the place, dude. There's people from Dallas. There's also somebody that's here from Edinburgh, actually.
Wow.
But I think they're the ones that live in Dallas now. So, dude, it's cool. Like, unfortunately, because of the whole time zone difference, we're kind of on different time zones.
Uh-huh.
Well, obviously, yeah. So they comment stuff and when I'm asleep, and then I woke up and I start, you know, like, when it's morning for us, it's, like, night for them, so...
Aww.
But they created like some awesome logos. One of them is like three dolphins with black hoods. Because we are the Illumi Potty, right?
That's awesome.
I think the other one has like a little triangle, like the Illuminati triangle, but with some other stuff in there, and like not the actual triangle, but you know, something else.
Yeah.
I'll send you the pictures of it. It's awesome.
Okay.
it's real cool. But I want to thank them for giving us the chance of being a VIP member of this group.
Awesome.
And the whole point of that group is basically to kind of spread everyone's podcast all over the place. So people in Europe recommend ours, we recommend theirs over here. And that's basically the whole goal, creating a community where we share each other's content and just kind of get along. And it's awesome, dude. So far, it's been great.
That's really cool.
So I'm really happy that we're part of the Illumi Potty.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was all of our shoutouts from Twitter, man. This is crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah. The other social media is kind of falling behind a little bit. Nah, but it's cool. I mean, we still keep in touch with some of our people on other social media, so that's cool.
Nice.
And speaking of social media, let's remind our listeners, Monica, of our links, because that's the way they can reach us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we have our Facebook under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. We have our Instagram under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is MythsBehindLGDS, and you can also email us at MythsBehindLegends@gmail.com.
All right, and our Letterboxd link is also under MythsBehindLGDS. You can go ahead and go into our watch list and maybe suggest a movie from there, or pick one that we don't have on there and recommend it to us. We can put it on there, and maybe we'll get to that in a future episode. Monica's favorite part of the entire show, our website URL jingle here.
Yes.
So our URL is under myths-behind-legends.mailchimpsites.com.
Woo!
I like how we're bobbing our head. Like,
yeah. The beat of the words.
Each of us are our own tempo, but it's okay. All right, Monica, so the time has come for you to give our audience a hint for next week's episode. Which hint are you giving us?
Well, it involves someone being disgraced in a large crowd.
Chan, chan, chan. All right. Mm-hmm. I think that's vague enough, but also kind of on point, so.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that one, actually. I like that movie a lot. I like also where it came from.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
It's, well, I guess we can say that it's based on a book, but...
Yeah. Yeah, we won't say from who, but it's based on a book.
Awesome. So, my friend, any final comments before we bid our audience farewell until next week?
Don't get pregnant around a satanic cult, basically. Tidbit of advice to everyone today.
Yeah. This pearl of wisdom was given to you by EMBL. All right, so I want to wish everybody a great evening, night, morning, satanic soiree, whatever you guys are up to. Be good to yourselves, to each other, and we'll see you on the next one. Until then, have a good one.
Bye.